The following is a public hall lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 17th, 2009, in Elektronai, Lithuania.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajima Sadaita Savaduta Pudi Jana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha So I have come to you tonight here in Elektronai, Lithuania, to bring to you the secret wisdom of ancient India. In the modern day society, we have all kinds of technological advancements. We have electricity. I think you have some electricity here in Elektronai also. Yeah. We have automobiles, airplane, internet, so many technological advancements we have. But there's one thing we're missing, and that is the very foundation. Who am I? If you ask someone who they are, well, let's say, well, I'm Mr. Such and Such. But is that who they really are? You can go to a court of law and you can change your name. So is that name really you? No, just something you're using. So what is the actual self? Is the self the material body? Well, science tells us that every minute the old blood corpuscles are dying and new blood corpuscles are taking their place. So the body you have now is not the same body you had an hour ago. The chemicals that make up your body are constantly changing. So if your name is not you, and your body is not you, then who are you? What are you? Are your eyes seeing? Or are you seeing through your eyes? Are your ears hearing? Or are you hearing through your ears? These are questions which are not being raised in the schools and universities of the modern day world. They have all other information for us, except they cannot tell us who we are. But that's the most important thing. I remember when I went to the university, that was my interest. I want to know who I am. But my professors couldn't tell me. None of the great thinkers whose books we studied could answer that question. Nobody gave an answer that made any sense. So I went on a quest. This was back in 1965. I began searching for the answer, who am I? And finally my search led me to the great sages of India. I heard all the great thinkers from the West, and none of them could answer the question. But when I went to the great sages of India, then I found answers which made a lot of sense. We have Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. In the, do we have any books based on the Bhagavad Gita? No. So in this wisdom here, we have the books of wisdom that we have brought tonight in Lithuanian language. In these books of wisdom, it is revealed. Dehi nosmin yata dehe kumaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir didastatra namhuhiyati. It is revealed very nicely. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth and to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change. So this means that we're changing bodies at every minute. Where is your little baby's body now? It's long gone. Where is your teenage body now? Where is your youth body? You see. These bodies are constantly changing. But the self remains the same. So at the time of death, that self continues to exist. It passes to a different place according to the consciousness of the living being at the time of death. So we are teaching a science of how you can perfectly realize who you are. That science is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna is a name for God in the Sanskrit language. So the whole point is to become God conscious, to become fully realized in God. Because when you perfectly realize God, who is the source of all existence, then you perfectly realize yourself also. as an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with that Supreme Person. You will realize that just as God is eternal, you are also eternal. You will realize that just as God is full of bliss, you are also full of bliss. You realize that just as God is full of knowledge, you are also full of knowledge. You are qualitatively one with God. The only difference between you and God is one of quantity. You are very tiny, and God is very big. That is the difference. So by realizing the non-material spiritual nature of the self, in engaging everything we do in the service of that Supreme Person, we become liberated from all anxieties. Yat karoshi yadashnasi, yaj jahosi dadasi yat. Yat tapashashi konteya tat kadushva madarpanam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So this is the sublime science known as Krishna consciousness. It enables one to fully awaken one's actual identity. Right now, our identity is sleeping. We think that I am this body. I am thinking I am a man. Or you are thinking I am a woman. This is a dream state. This body is just a covering only. It's like now I am wearing this chadar, you see. I can take the chadar off. I'm still the same person. You see? So your body is just like a chadar. You're wearing a woman's body or a man's body. You can have that body on or you can have that body off. It doesn't matter. You are still the same person. The biggest cause of anxiety we have in life is this. We think that I'm the body. And when death comes, it's taken away. So everybody is afraid of death, you see. Because they have a false conception of who they are. But as soon as you realize that you're not your body, that you're an eternal spiritual being, you become completely free from anxiety. You become totally happy, free of fear, free of disturbance, free of anger. You become just completely happy and peaceful. So how does one awaken this consciousness? We have to meditate on God. That is the technique. It is called yoga. One links oneself with God through the art of meditation. Now some of you may know that one meditation technique, you know, you sit down and you go, you know, deep breathing, that kind of meditation. But that method is not as effective as this method that we practice. This method that we practice is called Bhakti Yoga, the Yoga of Devotion. We meditate on the holy names of God. This process is very powerful. We were just doing it a few minutes ago when I was singing with the harmonium. We were meditating on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the name of God and God Himself are one and the same. This is the nature of the Absolute. Everything in relation with the Absolute is non-different from the Absolute. So the name of the Absolute Person is Him. So all you have to do is utter the names of God. And God Himself becomes present in that sound vibration. So that means while we were doing this chant that God was right here in the room, blessing us all with His divine presence. That person who is the source of all existence. That person who makes the sun shine. That person who gives us the rain. That person who gives us the food we eat. That person who gives us each other. He personally came and visited us and blessed us with His divine presence while we were doing the chanting. So by this association with the Supreme Person, we begin to remember who we were before we entered into this material world. We begin to remember that actually I am the eternal servant of God. I simply forgot that, thinking I was Mr. Such and Such or Mrs. Such and Such here in Lithuania. So, we invite you all to try to understand this wonderful, wonderful philosophy. And try putting it into practice in your life. If you do, we guarantee you, you will enjoy life like anything at every minute. You will be super, super happy people. So I can ask if there's any questions.
You are practicing this system for many, many years. How long do you spend each day meditating?
Yeah. We have a standard practice of meditating for 1.5 to 2 hours in the morning. Bring me your japa beads. We have what are called japa beads. In fact, if you would like to get some, did we bring any tonight? We can get some for you. There's something like, so what we do is we chant on these beads. We will recite the mantra one time for each bead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then move to the next bead. So those who are initiated, they go 16 times around the beads. Takes 1.5 to 2 hours. Now, as a new someone who's just starting it, you could just try going once around the beads. It might take you 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh,
But if you can do this on every day, begin your day by chanting the holy names of God. You'll feel like you're taking off on an airplane. And living in a higher state of consciousness. You know what I mean? So I've been doing this now for 38 years. And I just get higher and higher and higher every day. Flying in the spiritual sky of Krishna consciousness. So I'm inviting you to come and fly with me. It's wonderful. Fly in the sky of Krishna consciousness. We're giving you the airplane. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That is the airplane. And if you take this airplane and you chant it every day, you will fly in that spiritual sky every day. Actually, I first began chanting Hare Krishna back in 1968, so it was actually 41 years ago that I first started chanting. And when I would chant, I just felt like I was taking off on a magic carpet, going into another world. So I would be very delighted if you would try this process of chanting every day. One of our members can write it down for you, so you can take it home and chant it in the morning. If you get up before sunrise, when it's a very spiritual time, see, get up and take your shower, you know, and then sit down and chant this mantra. You'll be amazed at what happens to your consciousness. I mean, you'll be amazed. I didn't know that I could ever be so happy. I mean, this feels better than winning the lottery. So, you know, I encourage everyone to try this. I mean, this is the supreme happiness. There's no happiness greater than this. Even the movie stars, they can't get anything this good unless they chant Hare Krishna too. So, any other questions?
You have mentioned that we are falsely identifying sometimes man, sometimes woman, but in the spiritual world, Krishna has his wife, Srimati Radharani, so how could you explain that?
The spiritual world, you will have a form, either as a man or a woman, that's a thing. But that spiritual body is not a covering. That spiritual body is the actual self. But the bodies you have here, they are coverings only, they're not the actual self. Sometimes in one lifetime you're a man, a male. Another lifetime you're a female. Sometimes you're a human being, sometimes an animal, sometimes plant even. Those are covered selves, they are not the actual self. But your actual self will be revealed when you regain your eternal spiritual identity in the spiritual sky. Any other questions?
Why soul gets a particular body? according to which system? This body, not another body.
Yes. Yam yam vapi smadam bhavam shrijam yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadadad bhavabhavito. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, in that state he will attain without fail. So whatever your consciousness is absorbed in at the time of death, that determines your next body. Just like recently I was in Australia, and we were driving along a top of a cliff near the ocean, and we saw many men there engaged in a sport called hang gliding. They would jump off the cliff with some wings and they would fly around like a bird, you see. They can pretend like they're a bird flying around. So, because their consciousness is absorbed in flying in the sky like a bird, you see. At the time of death, they will become a bird in their next life, you see. And similarly, many people, they like to do scuba diving. Do we have any scuba divers here in the group tonight? They become fish in their next life, you see. Whatever you're into, that's what you get. Some people who like to have a lot of sex, you see. They become pigeons in their next life. Because pigeons, they can have sex 50, 60 times a day. So whatever your consciousness is, you see, you get a suitable body. But if you absorb yourself in thoughts of God, then you will get an eternal body that never gets sick, never gets old, and never dies. Next question.
But there are so many prayers, why only this prayer?
Actually, you can chant any names of God. You can chant Jehovah, 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 Allah, 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 Christ, Christ, Christ. Any names of God can be uttered. That is all right. But it is specifically mentioned in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. That of all the millions of names of God, these particular names are the most powerful names for awakening the God consciousness within the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore we are chanting these names. But you can chant according to your own religious faith, that is also good. Any other question? Does everybody understand who you are now? Is it clear? Do you all understand that you're not your body? You don't understand yet? Or you do? Yes or no?
To play with piano. So what I'm going to get the body? What body?
Huh?
What I'm going? I'm very fond of playing piano.
What will you be in your next life?
Yeah.
Depends on what kind of music you absorb your consciousness in.
Mm-hmm. kokią muziką jūs.
I am also a keyboard player. You saw how I was playing the keyboard. And my mother, she played the piano and she sang hymns of glorifying God, you see. You can use the piano to glorify God and then you will go to the spiritual world. They also play pianos in bars also, where people get drunk. Depends on what kind of music you play.
She likes
practically.
She likes practically all types of music. Only one she doesn't like is Chopin.
Ah, I see. Well, if the music is glorifying God, then that music will elevate your consciousness. And you can even compose your own music glorifying God. You can become a great composer of music. You can make better music. If you will utilize your piano playing talent to compose beautiful music glorifying the Supreme Person, you can become the greatest composer in the history of the world.
Jeigu jūs pradėsite kurti dainas, kurios šlovins Dievą, jūs galite tapti nuostabiausią kompozitorių pasaulyje.
So use your talent nicely in the service of God. This is the point.
Todėl esmė tokia, kad reikia panaudoti savo talentą tarnystei Dievui.
And then you will go to God upon leaving your body.
Tada palikusi kūną eisite pas jį, į karalystę.
We don't say to give up your talent.
Mes nesakom, kad atmesti savo talentą.
We say make your talent perfect.
Mes siūlome padaryti savo talentą tobulą.
By engaging in the service of God.
Panaudojant jį tarnystei Dievui. I will try my best.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Labai gerai, dėkui.
Okay, any other questions?
Can two persons, man and woman, achieve God? I have in my mind tantric love.
Can they do what?
Tantric.
Can they achieve God together, man and woman? I have.
Why not? If they both, that if there is a man and a woman, and they husband and wife, for example, and they dedicate their marriage in the service of God, they can both achieve God at the same time. Why not?
Vyras ir moteris, žmona ir vyras, jeigu jie paskiria savo gyvenimą tarnystei Dievui, žinoma, jie gali pasiekti kodėl.
And they can be together in the spiritual world also.
Ir gali paskui gyventi kartu dvasinė pasaulyje.
Why not?
Kodėl ne?
And she mentioned by the means of tantric love.
By the means of tantric love.
What, tantric?
Yeah.
Tantric, that is not very... that is a on the bodily platform. If we were, as long as we remain attached to the body, we are rooted in the material existence. It's not that by sexual union we can achieve the spiritual world. Because sexual union means he is thinking male, she is thinking female. So one has to go to a higher level of yoga. To where you get beyond the male and female bodies. Sex can be utilized for enlightenment, however. If we produce saintly children. Sex is actually meant for making children, isn't it? So if we use sex for that purpose, that sex will liberate us from this material existence. The man will become liberated. The woman will become liberated. And the children also that are produced by that divine union, they will become liberated. So the bhakti yoga system of sex is more powerful than the tantric yoga system. We practice the bhakti yoga sex. Using sex for procreation to bring God-conscious children into the world. And when we're not trying to have children, then we practice celibacy. We find that this chanting, Hare Krishna chanting, it is so exciting and so exhilarating. It's better than sex. So we forget about sex, but this chanting, it takes it to such a high level, we forget about sex. Unless we want to have some children, and then we remember sex. Any other questions?
What does Maha Mantra mean?
Maha Mantra is a prayer. Hare is the energy of God.
Hare, Dieva energia.
And Krishna is a name for God.
Krishna, Dieva vardas.
And Rama also is a name for God.
Rama, dar vienas Dieva vardas.
So when we chant Hare Krishna and Hare Rama, we are praying to the Lord and to His energy, please engage me in your service. So we are begging to be servants of the Lord. This is our prayer. Any other questions?
What do you think about other religions, Christianity and so on?
Actually, I'll give you. Let me tell you a secret. Religion is one. Actually, there's only one religion. And that is to be a lover of God. Whether you do it as a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, or a Jew, it's the same thing. There is one supreme person who is the source of all existence. And we are meant to love Him. This is what all the great teachers have taught us. So it doesn't matter which religious system you follow. If you develop love for God, then your religious practice is first class. So a Christian who has become a pure lover of God, we applaud their Christianity. A Jew who has become a pure lover of God, we applaud their Judaism. Anyone who has achieved pure love of God, we very much appreciate their religious path, which took them to pure love of God. We do not criticize other religious systems, because we understand by any system, if you can reach pure love of God, then you are perfect. Does that answer your question? Any other questions?
There are many scriptures, and is it possible to understand the scripture by one's own self, or one must accept the spiritual master? Because we see that many Christians, they read the scripture, but they do not accept the spiritual master and fall down.
It's actually in any subject, in any field of learning. If you really want to become a master in that field, you require an expert teacher. If somebody wants to learn how to play the guitar, they go to a guitar teacher. If somebody wants to be a doctor, they go to medical college, they study under a medical professor. In any field, if you want to become truly expert, you require a qualified teacher. So the same thing applies when it comes to developing pure love for God. When we are serious to actually become perfect in spiritual life, we require a spiritual master. I tried for years to figure it out on my own, and I could never do it. But when I found a bona fide spiritual master and I became his dedicated student, then the doors of spiritual enlightenment opened for me. So all of you who are looking for spiritual enlightenment, kindly seek out a bona fide spiritual master and become his dedicated student. Because by doing this, then you can easily become a spiritually enlightened person. Next question. Yeah.
What does it mean, bona fide spiritual master?
Bona fide means he's not after your money. There's many gurus now, they're very expert at taking your money, you see. The bona fide guru, he's not after your money. But there is one thing he wants to get from you. He wants to take it away from you. He wants to take away your anxiety. You see, that is the bona fide guru. Next question.
Why Vedas does not recommend to eat meat, intoxication, and fish, and so on?
Yes, in the Vedic system, one gives up eating meat, for example. Because once you become spiritually enlightened, you see that all living entities are part and parcel of God. You see the cow out in the field. You realize this is my sister. You see the bull, you realize this is my brother. How can I eat my brother and sister?
Yes.
Actually, cow is mother, because she gives us her milk. So how I can eat my mother? Does that make sense? I take, as a little baby, I take my mother's best milk. Then when I grow up a little bit, I take the breast milk of my second mother, the cow. So what kind of gratitude is it that my second mother milk bag dries up, that I kill her and eat her flesh? What sort of gratitude is that? Would I kill my first mother when her breast milk dries up and eat her body? No, of course not. So why would I want to do that for my second mother? You see, he's given me such nice things, ice cream, yogurt, so many nice things, butter. The cow gives such nice things. And she eats the grass. Can you eat grass? No, you cannot eat grass. But she takes the grass that you cannot eat, and she gives you, from the grass she makes ice cream and yogurt and butter and so many nice things from the grass that you can't even eat.
tos žodės, kurios jūs net valgyti negalite, tai padaro tokius dalykus kaip pieną, jogurtą, ledus.
So we should have some gratitude for that animal. We should not kill the cow. This is human decency. Next question. Everybody is satisfied now? You are satisfied?
Just for thanking.
Yeah.
You have mentioned that you were talking about love of God, and I meet many people who says I love God. So could you explain what exactly means to love God?
Ir klausimas buvo toks, kad kalbėjote apie meilę Dievui ir aš sutinku daug žmonių gatvėje visur, kurie sako, aš irgi myliu Dievą, tai ką galėtumėt pasakyti, kas tai realiai yra mylėti Dievą.
Sometimes we see the husband says to the wife, my dear wife, I love you.
Kartais matom, kad vyras sako žmonai, aš tave labai myliu.
And then the wife, she's, one evening she's sick and she needs some help washing the dishes.
Bet sakykime, vieną vakarą žmona susirga ir jai reikia padėti išsiplauti indus.
And the husband says, no, you wash the dishes, I'm going to watch television. But I love you. You see? Love means service. If you really love someone, you will serve them. Otherwise, your love is only on the lips. It's not in the heart. If you have real love, then you will serve that person. Our husbands and wives can take note from this example. So if you really love someone, you will serve them. Instead of just thinking, oh, how can I take advantage of them for my sense gratification? A lot of what goes on in the name of love is actually exploitation. Honey, I love you. Exploitation. Real love means service. So the same thing with God. If God is simply who I go to whenever I need something, God, give me this. God, please give me a new Mercedes-Benz. You see? If God is simply where I go and ask, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, that's not love of God. That's love of Mercedes-Benz. You see? Real love means service to God. If I really love God, that means I want to do whatever He wants me to do for Him. So very rare to find a person who purely loves God, you see. Who's willing to do anything for the Lord. To please Him. It's very rare to find such a person in today's world. Because everybody is taking God to serve their, to serve them, not they want to serve Him. They say they love God, but actually they're still self-centered. Genuine love of God means you are fully, 100% a God-centered person. You're not self-centered. If you truly love God, your every thought, your every word, your every deed in all times, places, and circumstances will be for the pleasure of the Lord, not for your pleasure. So now do you understand love of God? Does everyone understand what is the real meaning of love of God? Yes, this is the most important lesson. Next question.
So how to develop this kind of love?
Yes. By practice.
Praktika.
How do you get good at anything? How do you become an expert guitar player? Practice, practice, practice. Under the guidance of a qualified teacher. So you have to take a qualified teacher of the science of love of God. A bona fide spiritual master who is pure in love of God. And follow his instructions. He will tell you, before you eat, you must offer all of your food to God every time you eat. He will tell you, you must give up sinful activities like meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. He will tell you to read the Holy Scriptures every day and associate with saintly people every day as much as possible. He will engage you in acts of devotion. He will teach you how to worship God in a perfect way. So in this way, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, that dormant love of God, which is actually there within the heart, but is only covered by material lust, greed, and anger, will gradually become uncovered. But you must have faith in the spiritual master and follow his instructions with enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Because it takes time. How long does it take to get a PhD degree? You have to go through so many years of elementary school, and finally 8 years in the university. You may spend 15, 16 years to get a PhD degree. So developing pure love of God, that's more valuable than any PhD degree. So one has to be ready to spend many, many years of practice under a qualified teacher. But the nice thing about it is this. As soon as you begin the process in all seriousness, you immediately start to taste the nectar. And you become blissed out. So any other questions? Yes.
How to find the spiritual master that particularly fits for you?
Yes. The good news is this. God Himself is in your heart. He is the original spiritual master. You pray to that Lord who is sitting within your heart to bring you in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who is His external manifestation and who perfectly represents Him. That Lord in your heart can immediately arrange for you to meet your spiritual master. You simply have to be ready. As soon as you are ready for your teacher, God will send him to you. You don't have to go searching here and there all over the world. You simply be in the mood of fully surrendering yourself to the will of God. And then he will tell you from within your heart, you have just met your spiritual master. Now you surrender unto me under his guidance. The only thing is required is your sincerity. Next question. Is everybody satisfied now? There we go.
I met many spiritual persons, and I saw that even though they give up all the pleasures of life, still they are more happy than they were enjoying those pleasures. How to understand this?
You met spiritual people who were more happy with material sense gratification?
No. Without sense gratification, then people who are gratifying the senses.
Oh, yes, that is natural.
They are natural.
That's described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante niraharashidehina rashavarsham risopashya param rishvanavartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in consciousness. So when you actually enter into this mood of pure Krishna consciousness or pure love of God, you will relish a pleasure sweeter than any pleasure this material world has to offer. So it's very easy to give up your bad habits. They will appear disgusting to you, actually. You wouldn't be interested in them. You see, somebody who was smoking cigarettes, once they start chanting Hare Krishna, feel so good and clean and happy by chanting Hare Krishna. If someone offers a cigarette, they say, just get out of here. I don't even want to think of it. I know somebody who was chanting smoking two packs a day. And they dropped it immediately and started. They went from 2 packs to 16 rounds in the of japa every day, of Hare Krishna chanting, and they never went back. They replaced their 2 packs of cigarettes with 2 hours of chanting on the beads. And felt so happy that now I've been liberated from nicotine. Any other questions? I saw she had her hand like this. Okay, anything else?
She's just thinking about questions.
You're thinking some questions? You can think them out loud, it's all right. You have some. Any other questions? All right, there's a question.
Starts to feel some presence of the spiritual master in the heart.
Does what? The pleasure?
Feel the presence.
Oh, feels the presence of Chaitya Guru?
Yes, okay. Of the spiritual master. So this is the feeling of devotion, internal. And is there any external manifestation, any external relationships?
Relation?
Tiksliau, kad ta prasme, viduje yra santykis su mokytoju, ne? So one feels that feeling of devotion within the heart. And does this devotion manifest externally?
Yes, the spiritual master will manifest externally when you feel that devotion in the heart. Krishna will send your guru to you. When you have that genuine bhakti within your heart. So if he's really genuine, then you will surrender to that spiritual master. Then you know it was really genuine. Anything else? All right, then. So we'll we have now the everyone's invited to come and see these wonderful books. And if you'd like to take one home, we just ask a little contribution to cover the printing cost. Plus, anyone who would like a book, if you take the book tonight, okay, I will give you a special written blessing to help your spiritual life. So I thank you very much, Hare Krishna.